بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 122, which talks about another supplication, another dua that the Prophet taught عليه الصلاة والسلام, so that we could conclude our prayers with. And the brother would read it for us, inshallah.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, that Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I ask Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach me an invocation so that I may invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it in my prayer. He told me to say, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseerun fala yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfirli maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. O Allah, I have done great injustice to myself and none except you forgives sins. So forgive me and be merciful to me as you are the forgiver, the merciful. Al-Bukhari.
Very well. This hadith, it's very clear, so we should not spend so much time talking about it. However, it's a very great hadith. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, he knows that he is the greatest of the Prophet's followers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah be pleased with him. He knows that he's the first one of his ummah to enter the paradise. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I were to have a Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil. But unfortunately, it's not unfortunately, but fortunately, that I am Khalilullah. And this is why I cannot have any close companion. I am solely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Abu Bakr, if we want to speak about him, this would take us ages. But alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed me to have 5 or 6 series on the life of the companions of the Prophet. Among them was Abu Bakr. Now, Abu Bakr did not or never asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for financial benefits, though he spent all of his money to assist the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and to help Islam, to the extent that 10 of the heaven bound embraced Islam on his hands by him. And he bought so many of the slaves in Islam and freed them. Among them Bilal, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet and the Mu'adhin of the Prophet. So he came to the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, I want something, I want a favor. Teach me something I should invoke Allah Azza wa Jal with in my prayer. So the Prophet told him, say this beautiful invocation. He did not tell him, O Abu Bakr, say, O Allah, enlarge my wealth. O Allah, prolong my life. O Allah, make me stronger. No. He told Abu Bakr this great dua. And this might sound normal to you, but if you look at the dua, you'll be shocked. Because this dua would have, in my point of view, would have been appropriate to someone who was drunkard, to someone who had so many major sins, not to Abu Bakr. Yet, this shows us the more you know Allah, the humbler you are. And the more you know Allah's honor, the more humility you show. So what is the dua? The dua says, you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, I have wronged myself. I have done great injustice to myself. Who's saying this? Abu Bakr. What injustice was he doing compared to us? We make tons, literally, tons and tons of what he used to do in his lifetime. We do that every day. Yet look at the Prophet's teaching. O Allah, I have wronged myself, or I have done great injustice to myself. Okay, what do you want? And none except you forgive sins. So forgive me and be merciful to me as you are the forgiver and the merciful. Look at this hadith. It is a typical invocation of Allah, where you first admit your guilt and you praise Allah. Whenever you do these two things, Allah will answer your invocation. It's a rule of thumb. When you admit your guilt and confess of Allah's favor on you and praise Allah, Allah would give you what you ask for. And that is why Sayyidul Istighfar, the master of seeking forgiveness of Allah, what does it say? Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. I'm glorifying Allah. I'm starting by, O Allah, you're my Lord, and there is no God, and there is no Lord for me except you. You've created me, and I'm your slave, and I'm your servant. And I am on what you have ordered me to do. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَعْدِكَ as much as I can, to the best of my ability. I seek refuge in you from what I have done, meaning I've wronged myself. And I confess of your blessings coming to me. وَأَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيِّ. Then you confess and say that I have wronged myself severely, so forgive my sins. If you confess, as in the hadith of Abu Bakr, and you praise Allah, and you acknowledge that He is the most forgiving and the most merciful, Allah would forgive you. Yet, whenever we supplicate to Allah, we have to feel the humility in our hearts. A lot of the people, when they supplicate to Allah, they supplicate with arrogant hearts, thinking that I have done so many good things for Islam. It goes without saying that when I raise my hands, oh Allah, do this, do that for me, Allah would not answer my prayers because my heart is not broken with humility. The best way and the best form of praying to Allah is when you humiliate yourself, when you feel how small and tiny and negligible you are and how big, great Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith taught Abu Bakr how to supplicate and how to show humility to Allah the Almighty. The following hadith is hadith number 123. And who will read it? Yes, brother.
Narrated Aisha, when the Surat al-Nasr, when comes the help of Allah and the conquest, had been revealed to the Prophet, he did not offer any prayer except that he said therein, Subhanaka Rabbana wa bihamdika, Allahumma ighfir li. I testify the uniqueness of our Lord, and all the praises are for Him. For Allah forgive me. In another narration, he used to say, so often in his bowing and prostration, Subhanaka Rabbana wa bihamdika, Allahumma ighfir li. I testify the uniqueness of Lord, of our Lord, and all the praises are for Him. O Allah, forgive me.
Of course, we know that this is one of the last surahs to be revealed to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And a lot of the scholars differ to which is the last ayah that was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So some say this surah. Others say, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And a third portion say, the last ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, one of the last ayahs, about maybe four or five ayahs from the bottom. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. So, it's a difference of opinion among scholars, and the most authentic opinion is that as far as surahs, complete surahs, this surah was the last. And as far as legislation and ruling regarding halal and haram, the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, was the last. Because now the deen is complete. So خلاص, nothing to be added. And as far as the last ayah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ is, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, fear a day that you shall come back to Allah. And this was the last ayah that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. So this surah, when it came, we mentioned this before, the Prophet ﷺ said on the pulpit that Allah has given one of his servants the choice between what he has and this dunya. And this servant chose what Allah Azza wa Jal has. And Abu Bakr was the first to cry and say, oh Prophet of Allah, we give our lives for you. And the companion said, we did not know what was wrong with this old man. What is he doing? And then after the Prophet had died, they knew that the Prophet was talking about himself and that Allah has given him the choice. Ibn Abbas and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, said that this surah meant to the Prophet والسلام, so that he would get ready for departing this life. And it was the tiding that he was going to die soon. And no one understood this except Abdullah ibn Abbas and also Umar and Abu Bakr, of course. May Allah be pleased with them all. So what is the significance of this surah? The significance is that Allah is instructing his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do or to say something. And that is what he used to do. Whenever he used to pray, he would always say in his prayers this phrase, Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik Allahumma ghfirli, as in the surah itself. And he used to not only say that in prayer, he used to say it in his ruku' and also in his prostration. So is it recommended that we say it or not? Of course, it is highly recommended for us to say it, Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik Rabbi Ighfirli, because this is part of his sunnah. Now, why should we say it? First of all, because the Prophet ﷺ said it. And secondly, because it is praising Allah. Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik, Rabbi Ighfirli. Then I'm asking Allah to forgive my sins. So it includes the fundamentals of dua, that is, praising Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking forgiveness, or wanting whatever I want from Allah the Almighty. We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We have concluded by this the description of the Prophet's prayer sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very summarized way. Of course, to go into details, you have to go more and more in research and study more descriptive books and narrations of scholars. We move on to the chapter that deals with witr. And as you know, witr means odd. And shafa' means even. So odd numbers, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, this is called witr. And the Prophet used to pray witr all of his time, meaning that no night would pass without him praying night prayer and witr, whether he's residing or he's traveling. And whenever he was ill or he slept and did not offer his witr, he would make it up the following day in the morning. But instead of praying 11 rak'ahs, witr is only to be prayed at night. So if he's going to pray it in the morning, he prays them 12 rak'ahs. And there is a lot of things to be said about witr. We will come to discuss this as we go on, inshallah. Hadith number 124. Yes, Abdurrahman.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the minbar pulpit, A man asked him how to offer the night salah. He replied, pray two rakah at a time and then two. And if you fear the break of dawn, pray one rakah, and that will make the prayers you offered witr. The Prophet also used to say, make an end of your tahajjud night prayer with an odd rakah.
From this hadith, we learn a number of lessons. Among them, one, that the Prophet answered the questions of those who ask him. However, the companions did not frequently ask the Prophet for issues because they did not want to burden him with their questions. However, they loved it when some of the A'rab, some of the nomads, some of the Bedouins would come from outside of Medina because they had no barriers, so they would ask the Prophet anything. So whenever someone of them came and asked the Prophet, they were very anxious to hear the answer. So the man is asking, how should I pray night prayer? The Prophet ﷺ instructed him to the format. He showed him the format, and that is, you pray two, 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 two. You don't have to repeat those. He says, mathna, mathna, which means keep on praying two rak'ahs. Until you fear fajr. If you fear that the dawn would break soon, then you have to make these even numbers, two, 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 this is even. You have to make the total to be witr, in odd numbers. And this is your witr, by praying one rak'ah. And this is the minimum, because we know from the sunnah that he used to pray one rak'ah, three rak'ahs, five rak'ahs, seven rak'ahs, nine rak'ahs, as witr, not as normal night prayer. And also the Prophet ﷺ stated that it is highly recommended that you end your night prayer with witr. And this is what caused some scholars to say, after witr prayer, you must not pray any rak'ah. Why? Because the Prophet instructed us to conclude our night prayer, our tahajjud prayer, with witr. So if you concluded it, you cannot pray anything afterwards. But this is not the most authentic opinion. The Prophet himself, as reported by Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, used to offer two rak'ahs after witr. What does this mean? It means that it's recommended that you end your night prayer with witr, but it is not mandatory. So if we say that it is not mandatory, this helps me a lot when I feel that I'm asleep or falling asleep and I'm not sure if I can wake before Fajr to pray night prayer and witr or not. So before I go to bed, I pray and I offer my witr, and I hope that if I wake before Fajr, I can pray night prayer, tahajjud. This is exactly what Abu Huraira used to do. He said that my Khalil, my close friend, my beloved Prophet, instructed me to do three things. I would not leave them until I die. He instructed me to offer witr before I go to bed. And he instructed me to pray two rak'ahs of duha, and he instructed me to fast 3 days of every month. This was the instruction from the Prophet ﷺ to Abu Huraira. So when we go back to the hadith, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ did not tell this nomad, this Bedouin, that he should not increase more than 11 rak'ah. He gave him what to pray, but he did not limit him to a number of rak'ahs, which means, this means that it is open for you to choose how many rak'ahs you would like to offer. Differs from one person to the other. If you have any questions, yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
I have a question that Dajjal, he has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can put the people during the times of the Akhirah in trial. So, what will be the result, destiny of Dajjal in the hereafter?
The Dajjal is definitely a kafir. It was written on his forehead that he is a disbeliever. He's an enemy of Allah. He is claiming to be Allah. So definitely he's in hell. And he is killed by Isa ibn Maryam, by Jesus, peace be upon him. And he is killed by a spear that he puts through him. So even though he was created by Allah, but he disobeyed Allah. And like the Satan, the devil, Iblis, he was created by Allah, he disobeyed Allah, and he's thrown into hell for eternity.
Regarding the issue of witr, what if a person, he misses witr, how does he make up for it?
Okay, the person who misses witr, I've mentioned this, that he should make it up in the morning, but even numbers. So if you're used to praying 7 rak'ah every night and you overslept or you were sick, you may pray them the following morning before dhuhr time and after the sunrise, of course, and you may pray them 8 rak'ahs. Because this was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ as reported by Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her.
While you are supplicating in the sujood or otherwise, is it necessary that you have to cry or exhibit your facial expression, whatever is inside, by making some facial expression? Is it necessary?
Well, crying would add value, but your facial expressions should represent what you feel in your heart. So the humility, whether it's in prostration or throughout the prayer, is not something you are acting. It is showing Allah Azza wa Jal what you feel in your heart when you remember how great Allah is, how powerful Allah is, how kind and wise Allah is, how magnificent He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The crying while reciting the Quran is recommended, but it is highly recommended that it comes from the heart. When you feel your shortcomings and you realize them, when you know your sins and mistakes, and when you contemplate on Allah's punishment, when you think of Allah's rewards and favors and blessing in paradise and how eager you are to reach there, once you get this, this adds value, inshallah. This is all the time we have until we meet next time. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.